Well, happy Easter. Man, he is risen.
He's risen indeed.
That's right. This is just one of my favorite days. To all the visitors here, we want to say a special kind of welcome to you, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, whoever you are, Doubters, Seekers, followers. We're so glad that you are here with us on this day. We have kids in this service with us as well. If you have started kindergarten, or if you are anywhere in the age of like 5 to 10, I want to tell you, you're new to this service. We're so glad you're in here. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is alive. On Friday, we met and we gathered and we talked about how Jesus died for our sins. He died to take every evil thing, every wrong thing, every bad thing, and destroy it. And that's what he did on Friday. And he proved it. On Sunday, he rose from the dead and Jesus is alive. We come to celebrate that. So for all you adults too, he is risen. He is alive. His love cannot be stopped. Nothing could stop him. Death could not stop him. And we come to worship the risen Jesus Christ. Welcome to Easter. This is the day of days. This is our day that we remember our Savior who gave himself up for us. And he stepped out of a tomb 2,000 years ago. And nothing can stop his love to go out to the end of creation. End of all creation. Man, welcome. We're just excited that you are with us. I want to pray for us. Today in this sermon, we're going to see how Jesus and his resurrection changes even the nature of possibility. We're going to pray that God would move in this place and help us see with new eyes that he is alive, that he is the resurrection, and he is the life. He is our life. So let me pray for us, and we'll jump into Acts. Jesus, I'm so thankful that you are alive, that you are with us, that you stand, you are interceding for us right now on our behalf. And if we really understood that you are praying on our behalf right now for us, for our souls, for the situations that we find ourselves in the darkness, in the dark places, in the evil things that have been happening in our lives, the things done by us, the things done to us, God, that you are praying in our incredible joys, that you are interceding on our behalf, God, that would give us such strength if we truly believe that. And you are doing that this morning. You are exalted above all things. God, would you, in this message, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our ears, open our eyes to see you as the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. God, bless this time today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's one phrase as I was reading this passage over this week that just stood out to me. And it just kind of kept on coming back in my mind. And it's the phrase, it was not possible. Peter, that's kind of the beginning of this passage that you heard read, starts with, it wasn't possible for death to hold him. It's an amazing kind of phrase, and actually one that I think you probably heard whispered a lot the first Sunday morning on the way to the tomb with these women that walked. If you know the story, these women were going to prepare Jesus' body. He was killed on a Friday, and he was taken off the cross early because of tradition. The Sabbath was coming, and you don't work on the Sabbath. And so some burial spices had been brought to his body, but they needed to do a proper burial. So they rested on that Saturday. They didn't do anything. And if you think about that, think about those women on that Saturday. This man who they had followed for the last 3 years, that had befriended them, that had loved them with this great love, think of that day where they couldn't prepare his body, that he sat in this tomb, just laying there. And their grief is heavy on them, the sadness. They had thought he was the one. He was the Messiah. But he's laying in a tomb. And they loved him so much that even though in their minds, this can't be, he can't be the one, they were going to prepare his body in the proper way. So they're bringing spices. It says in the text that they were going while it was still dark. As early as they could, it was still dark. They were on their way to the tomb. And they get to the tomb, and strangely, they knew it was sealed. It was sealed with this massive rock. There was a whole battalion that was supposed to be there, and there's no battalion, there's no army, there's no guards there, there's no stone. They walk inside, and the body's not even there. Then the story tells us, the Bible tells us that this angel comes and says, he's not here. He's risen. And I think that phrase, it is not possible, was probably on their minds. Like, it's not possible. Now, this is not possible. They did not come that morning to the tomb to go greet a risen Savior. They went to go prepare a dead body. They were not ready for this. This was not a possibility in their mind. And I think this is not possible. It was just on their mind. It cannot be. This cannot be. But weirdly, this angel speaks to them, and I think hope starts like maybe creeping into their hearts. Like, it's not possible, but it can't be. This cannot be. And their grief and sadness that they've had, all that they've been living in, starts like hope, starts like creeping into it and seeping through. This is not possible. I mean, think if you were there, to prepare Jesus' body. It's not like these first century Jewish women just were like, you know what? We're expecting this man who died to be risen again. They're not unlike us. They know possibility. That just does not happen. Where would you be? And then, as they're on their way back, and there's like, this cannot be. This is not possible. It's in their minds. One word kind of breaks through everything. And it's just Mary. Jesus speaks, and Mary hears her name, and what was not possible becomes real. It becomes reality. And this name that's spoken from Jesus, the risen Savior's lips, Mary, with such love, love would not be stopped. Love was not going to be stopped, and it shatters even all their categories of possibility to such a way that when Mary goes back and they run back and they tell the disciples, he is risen. Peter, I think he's running, and he's like, this cannot be. This is not possible. There's no way. They're running to the tomb. They're not expecting Jesus Christ to be risen from the dead. This cannot be. This is not possible. But then Peter sees him. He now is preaching this sermon where look how things have changed. Listen to this line of this sermon in Acts 2:24. Listen to this. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. What change has happened? Possibility is now like, this is just crazy, right? He was probably whispering, there is no way, there is no possibility. This cannot be. But he met and saw Jesus Christ, and then the realness of Jesus Christ in front of him, the Jesus who had loved, the one who had denied him three times, changes him, and changes him so much that now, not only is he not saying it's possible, he's saying it's not possible for Jesus to be held by death. How awesome is that? It was not possible because God had raised him up. He would not be stopped. There was no possibility that the love he was going to display to the world would be stopped by death. Here's what this means for kids, for all of you. He loves you, and nothing will stop him from that. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop his love towards you. His death was just a doorway to resurrection. He could not be stopped. Jesus cannot be stopped by anything. He is bigger, he is greater. Every evil, every wrong thing, every abuse, every tragedy on this planet would not stop him, and he was going to undo all of it. Every single thing, every system of power that's wrong, every injustice that exists in this country and places around the world, he would not have it, and he would be undoing all of it in his resurrection. He would deal with our sin, he would deal with the sin of the world on his cross, and then he would raise to new life and begin this new kingdom through his people. And now we're part of this. I mean, it's an amazing thing. This sermon has three parts. Peter gets up, he's in Jerusalem, and he is preaching. In this section today, I want you just to see three pieces of it. He's going to say, Jesus is risen. The second part is he's going to say, Jesus is exalted. And then he's going to say, you have something to do. Okay, so that's what we're going to follow today. Let's look at this, he is risen. God raised him up. This was this first verse that we read in Acts 2:24. God raised him up. He starts with Jesus is risen first because God raised him up. Can anything stop God? No, that's right. Nothing can stop God. That's the point. God raised him up. You try stopping God. That's his first point. God raised him up. Jesus tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. It wasn't possible for death to stop him because, to be honest, for him to be the resurrection, what has to happen? He has to die. Death was a tool to Jesus Christ. Death couldn't stop him. Death was like part of his story. For him to be the resurrection, death had to be part of it. He was the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. God raised him up. This is his first point. God raised him up. He loosed the pain. God loosed the pangs of death. And it was impossible. It was not possible for death to hold him. I like to think about that. Let's think of like a doorway. And if you know anything about the construction of doorways, there's a thing called a threshold, right? Between one room to the next, and in between there's a door. Conceptually, I've been trying to live on this, meditate on this. Jesus crossed this amazing doorway from death to life. And I've been trying to picture what that step looked like. No matter what, whether it's explosions, fire, light, there was no way he was not crossing that threshold. What an amazing step from death to life. God raised him up and brought him to life. And a new possibility now becomes possible for us. He knows who he's speaking to. Peter's in the middle of Jerusalem, the people of Israel. They have their Old Testament. That's their scriptures. That's our scriptures. So not only said, hey, God raised them up, then he's going to say, the Bible told you this was going to happen. This was written hundreds of years. This was prophesied. So he's going to say, hey, God raised them up, but look, if you don't believe me, let me show you where he had this had to happen. So he quotes the psalmist. And so here in verses 25 through 28, he says, Peter quotes the psalmist, David. He says, for David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. This is a psalm. This is in the Old Testament. This is written hundreds of years before. And Peter goes on in this message to say, that can't be David because David's tomb is over there. You know exactly where it is. David is in the ground. David was, he's saying, prophesying. When this passage says, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption, he said, that was David talking about Jesus. This had to happen. This is what our God told us would happen. If you were here on Good Friday, we read Psalm 22. Psalm 22 starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? That psalm was a prophecy about Jesus' cross. Psalm 23 is a psalm about his resurrection. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The Hebrew literally says he restores again my soul to life. He had to die and he had to rise. This was prophesied. And this is what Peter's doing. He's saying, look, God raised him up. If you don't believe me, read your Bibles. You've all got your Bibles. You're all going to synagogue. We're at the temple right now. Go ask those people what this is about. This is about the resurrection. He is risen. And the Bible told us that was going to happen. And then he's even going to say, let me add one more thing. In verse 32, he says this. This Jesus, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. He obviously is going to let you know who has all power. God. This phrase, who raised Jesus up? God. That's right. You should be getting it. He's going to just repeat himself over and over. God raised him up. Now he adds something too, though. And I saw him. God raised them up. The scripture tells you this was going to happen. This was hundreds of years before he came. He gave his life. He raised. This is exactly what the Bible said was going to happen. Finally, I saw him. All of us here, we saw him as in his resurrected body. What an amazing thing. Jesus has solved our main problem, which is death. That is the thing that haunts us, if we're honest. In the quiet, in the silence of our lives, the thing that really haunts us is our ultimate problem, which is death, separation, isolation for all eternity. Jesus came and he solved that problem. I'm so glad he solved our main problem, because Jesus didn't come and just solve the little problems. Like, I can solve little problems. Let's say you were somehow, you got involved way over your head and you decided to take, I'm going to take out $200 million of loan against this, you know, foreign dictator. And, you know, he holds the loan to my problems. And, you know, I got to pay this Friday. I don't have $200 million. You know, if I came and said, dude, I love you, I bought you some bubble gum, and, you know, you looked at me and go, man, I know my breath smells bad. I know. And this solves a problem I have, because I got some bad breath. But that is not my main problem, man. I owe $200 million to this not-so-kind dictator, and he's coming, and he's sending some people to collect on Friday. Aren't you glad Jesus solved your main problem and not the little one? Man, in solving the big one, he actually does solve all of our problems. I'm so glad he didn't give us the bubble gum. He paid the whole debt. The amazing thing about the gospel, though, is it also tells us in doing that, he went ahead and adopted us too. He didn't just pay our debt. He goes, you're part of my family. And the resurrection. So kids, because Jesus is risen from the dead, or everyone in here, when you put faith in him, you're in his family. That is amazing. Peter won't let up on this. This is the best sermon ever preached. He's like, Jesus is risen. Now he's going to go up a level. He's going to say, and he is exalted. Look at this. In verse 33, he says, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God. This is Jesus. Being exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Jesus Christ, he has been exalted. He ascended into the heavens. He is at the right hand of the Father. Every knee on heaven and earth is going to bow to Jesus Christ, because he is exalted. He is risen and he has been lifted. God the Father looked upon him. He sent him to bear the weight of all of our sin, to go to the cross, and Jesus obeyed. He laid down his life. And then he rose to new life. God the Father was ready to have his son back. And he ascends into heaven, and he's with the heavenly Father, exalted above every single name. And you know what he's doing? The picture's really interesting. He's pouring out stuff. It's not just stuff, it's the Holy Spirit. He's pouring out the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, you're seeing this today. Because in this sermon, people thought they were drunk. That's what the way he starts the sermon. He's like, hey, I swear we're not drunk. This is the Holy Spirit. Joel told you this was going to happen. This is happening. In Romans, we actually get a picture that God, he pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's all Jesus is doing. He is exalted. And to those who crucified him, you know what he's doing? He's not pouring out wrath. He's pouring out his spirit. And he's pouring out his love into their hearts. And he's pouring out his love into your heart this morning. He stands exalted, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is pouring out his love to you. What a king. What a God. Verse 36 just says it so well. Let all in the house of Israel, or all of you here, know this. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is our Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the one that has saved us from our sins. And God did it, and there's nothing we can do about it. He is Lord and Christ. To him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What's our part? That's the end of the sermon. It was like an awesome sermon. He's like, Jesus is risen. He is exalted. He stands above everything. He's pouring out his love, his spirit into our hearts. He is Lord and Christ. This Jesus who you crucified. So there's a little pain. That's kind of hard. He doesn't leave it with, hey, all you lovely people. It's all you people that killed Jesus. He makes them own the reality of their life. You know what you're supposed to do this morning? Own it. Own the reality of your sin. Because Jesus came to give his life for sinners. And if you're not one, he didn't give his life for you. You need to own your sin. You need to see your sin. It crucified Jesus to the cross. The people say, what should we do? What must we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. You know what repentance is? It's saying, you know what? I've had it with the life of just working and doing and accomplishing. I've for so long just tried to be a good person, or I've just tried to succeed in everything I do. This whole world just is kind of directed in a way where I'm trying to even just be a good person. Like that's how I get love. That's how I get God's acceptance. Or that's just how I live in the world. As long as I'm a good person, that's just kind of how I feel like life comes to me. That way, with a way without God, needs to be repentant of. You have in that way gone your own way and you have sinned against him. Repentance is lining up and saying, you know what? I'm going to believe what God says about me. God says I'm loved. I'm going to actually turn and walk in that path. God says he pours out his love into my heart. And I've been walking away from that. I'm going to repent to that. God says I'm saved by grace. I've got to stop trying for this thing. I've got to just believe in him. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and when he did that, he accomplished everything that we need for our salvation. Stop trying to work for what Jesus accomplished. Believe in him. This is what you're to do. You're supposed to receive him, repent, and be baptized. We are having a baptism service this service. Baptism is a resurrection service. It is a service where we remember we were dead in our sins and we have been made alive. And that's what happens when we go into the, when you're going to see these folks go into the water, it's a picture of the resurrection. We have died to ourselves and now we raised to new life. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ today, we want to invite you to be baptized today. We want to say today can be that day that you can repent and be baptized. This was what he told them, repent and be baptized. Some of you go, I've been baptized. I have faith. What about me? Okay, let me talk to you. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. At the end of John, Jesus goes to Peter, and all he cares about is one thing. He's about to commission Peter to go be a shepherd of people. And all he cares about, he'll ask him 3 times, do you love me? Follower, do you love me? Remember, Do you love me? That's all he cares about. He died for you. He rose for you. And he stands before you today. And he asks, do you love me? He is risen. He has loved us before we love him. He is risen. Let me pray. Jesus, would you confront us with yourself, with the reality of you, the risen Lord? And would you echo that question in our ears this morning? Do you love me? God, turn our hearts towards you. Turn our faith towards you. Pour out your grace upon us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.